It is now 7 o'clock. It's 7. Thank you. What is it? After? Oh, that clock is really long.
It's 5 o'clock
something. 7:02, actually.
See what happened there?
Only you would go there.
All right. I will officially open our meeting for April the 9th, 2014, through Van County Board of Supervisors meeting. This meeting is a public hearing on our operating capital and CIP budget. Would you stand with me, please, and let us say the pledge, and then a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we'd like to welcome any visitors that we have. We'd like to welcome our citizens. I see some people from the school board, and I'd like to welcome our staff. County Administrator, you do not have a report this afternoon?
No, ma'am. Since we have one last week and we'll have one next week,
okay.
We give the public more time.
Well, we're real disappointed, aren't we?
Oh,
I don't know if we can go on or not.
Can I look at the school board?
Enough 10 minutes to get through. It's 1.5 hours.
I thought you took that out of our
book. I did. I stole.
Oh. Okay.
He took your minutes.
Yeah, he did.
What?
He took your minutes.
We have our first public comments section. If anyone would like to make any comments, but if you have anything that you want to talk about with the rate, the advertised rate in the budget, you can wait until the public hearing time. But I am going to go ahead and open for public comments. Anyone would like to talk to us about anything else, you are welcome to come to the mic. Give us your name, your address, and you have 5 minutes to speak to the board. Ms. Keller.
Hi, I'm Gina Keller, and I live at 380 Ballinger Lane, Palmyra, Virginia. And I'm speaking certainly as a community member of Fluvanna. This past Tuesday morning, I had the opportunity to speak before the Chamber of Commerce. And the message that I brought to the Chamber of Commerce was one about our culture, our image in Fluvanna County, and how important it is for all of our members, all of our community members, to rally together and formalize ways for us to speak in a way that is inviting and that showcases the wonderful resources we have in Fluvanna County as a rural community. I know that there have been struggles. We have faced them as school systems, social work departments, sheriff's departments, even as community members individually. But that should not paint our county with one wide brush as a county that can't make something wonderful happen here. And I was privileged to be able to speak to the Chamber of Commerce, and I actually used a letter that was written to me, and it's one of probably 10 that I've received in 2 years. That was a letter that was written to me about a person who wanted to move to Fluvanna and had been told actually by his realtor that he should choose elsewhere. And it was so troublesome that I thought, we have one or two options. We can either fuss about it and wallow in that kind of mindset, or we can rally together, and not to sound so cliche, but I do believe in showcasing the things that are valuable to our community and work together. I believe we have a board of supervisors who has really good conversations, candid conversations, ask good questions, and is ready to move the system forward. And as a community member, I will tell you, by contract, I was required to move here, but by blessing, I am here, and I live here. And I just implore us, I've looked at some of the minutes and was here when we talked about a campaign to showcase the positive. That's a good start, but it has to be bigger and deeper than that. And I'm telling you as a community member, I'll be glad to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keller. Anyone else would like to speak to the board? If not, I will close our first public comment time. Now we will go into our public hearing, and Ms. Hallacher will make some presentations.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. Tonight we have a public hearing on the fiscal year 15 CIP, the operating budget, and the tax rates. The first numbers you see in front of you are the total capital plan for the next 5 years. The part that will be adopted into the budget is the FY15, which is $15,604,685,000. The total budget for the capital budget for the five years, of course, is $31,763,539. The governmental capital and enterprise summary, this is our entire operating budget for all funds, and the proposed FY15 budget is $80,105,000. This is a slide we've shown before. These are the components of the tax increase. The proposed tax increase, real estate tax increase, is 8.5 cents, which is made up of course, increased expenditures, primarily some debt service, increased debt service, schools, public safety, some general government items, and some public works deferred maintenance projects. Here are proposed tax rates, and as you see, the rates that are changing are the real property tax rates, which affect public service corporations and mobile home rate also. A slide of the real estate tax impact at the current rate. We've highlighted the $175,000 because that's the median price of a home in Savannah County. At the current rate, they would pay approximately $1,391. At the new rate, they will pay $1,540, which is an increase annually of $149 and $12.40 per month. The plan is to adopt the FY15 budget next Wednesday at 7 p.m. here in the courtroom. Are there any questions?
Any questions, Ms. Hallacher? Anyone? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now we will open our public hearing. Please come to the mic, give us your name, address. You have 5 minutes to speak to us. I do have a list. We had a sign-up sheet. And I have Mrs. Perry Johnson.
I'm Perry Johnson. I live at 5039 James Madison Highway. And I simply want to ask you to pass a budget based on the full advertised rate I'm willing to pay to move Fluvanna forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. I don't have anyone else on the list, but that does not keep you from coming forward and speaking to us. Do we have anyone else who would like to come and speak to us about our 88 cent advertised tax rate?
Carrie Murphy Hammond, 79 Ross Lane, Columbia District. I would like to just reiterate what Ms. Johnson said. I don't like paying more tax. However, I think it's absolutely necessary to move Fluvanna forward, and I encourage you to adopt the advertised rate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hammond.
Good evening. I'm Joe Shaver from 13 Rockwood Lane in Lake Monticello. I stood here a year ago and talked about the previous year when we had the advertised tax rate of 68 cents. And I saw somebody post on their Facebook page, I'm going this afternoon and meet with some of the finest financial minds in the county. And I posed the question, I hope that individual has in mind the solid interest and welfare for this county, and I was assured that they did. And it was just a few days after that that the board met and plunged that 68 cents down to 59 cents. And I wondered what happened to that interest and welfare for the county. That same person looked me in the eye after all the turmoil that occurred 2 years ago relative to the 59 cents and said, Joe, I was in favor of 63 cents, but I didn't have the votes. Because I argued last year that nobody expected that 68 cents to stand up, okay? But we certainly didn't expect it to plunge down to that 59 cents. And that certainly a compromise of somewhere around 63, 64 cents was in order. And I'd like to remind that if we had done the right thing and found that compromise of 63, 64 cents, the equalized rate of for today would be that 88 cents that is now proposed. And I think that it's an opportunity to, again, do the right thing that we should have done 2 years ago. I just finished taking an online course through the Monticello Foundation, the University of Virginia, on the age of Jefferson. And Jefferson was an extreme proponent of public education. Let me share some of his words with you. In every government on earth is some trace of human weakness, some germ of corruption and degeneracy, which cunning will discover and wickedness insensibly open, cultivate, and improve. Every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves, therefore, are its only safe depositors. And to render even them safe, their minds must be improved to a certain degree. This indeed is not all that is necessary, though it is be essentially necessary. And an amendment for our Constitution must here come in aid to public education. The influence our government must be shared among all the people. If every individual which composes their mass participates of the ultimate authority, the government resources of wealth, the public of all ultimate authority, the government resources of wealth, because the corrupting the whole mass will exceed any private resources. The public ones cannot be provided but by levies on the people. In this case, every man would have to pay his own price. The government of Great Britain has been corrupted because but one man in 10 has a right to vote for members of parliament. The sellers of the government, therefore, get 9/10 of their price clear. It has been thought that corruption is restrained and confining the right of suffrage to a few of the wealthier of the people, but it would be more effectively restrained by an extension of that right to such members as would bid defiance to the means of corruption. I would encourage you to join Mr. Jefferson in your support of public education and pass this budget at 88 cents. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Robert Earl, Cunningham District. I first, again, want to thank all of you for your service. You are in the eye and the spotlight, and appreciate what you've done. In my studies, in my looking through the budget process, this has been one of the most thorough reviews of a budget cycle and what's needed that I've heard of or have seen in other jurisdictions and have seen in Fluvanna history of what I've been able to pick up. This budget gives an opportunity to focus on one main area, and I think the one chart that put up that was put up showed that the majority of the increase was for the school budget. I have expressed in forums that I'm looking forward to the school budget going forward, having the same level of review as the capital improvement budget did, because I was here for that meeting, and also the way that the payables get reviewed at each meeting, that the school budget needs that type of review, and I look forward to participating in that and crafting a future for my seven-year-old for that to occur and for them to take advantage of the schools and to go through that. The resounding message I get back from my fellow business community and from my fellow citizens is exactly what has been echoed. Nobody likes to pay more taxes. Nobody likes to have to come up with the extra $12 or the for some folks, that $12 is a tremendous stretch. I appreciate that. I go into these folks' houses on a weekly basis, and that there is a bit of a struggle for the overall good, for the overall benefits that it will give back to these folks. This is a good first step, and I look forward to working with each one of you on our future as we look at investments, as we look at ways to come up with alternative sources to be able to fund. One more reminder, thank you, Mr. Nichols, for putting together the chart that shows that this school increase and the increase in funding to schools only brings the county portion back to a 2008/2009 level, and that does not take into account any inflation that has occurred over those years. So we'll continue to review and look at what those dollars go towards and how that benefits our children, but we've cut long enough, we've said no long enough, and it's time to say yes for Fluana.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, I will close the public hearing section. We do not have any action matters or presentations, consent.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Just because you've closed the public hearing now would be appropriate time for
yes,
board discussion.
Yes, we have some conversation.
Okay. Any board discussion or any direction for staff to prepare for next week.
Right. So now we will have a chance for all of us to talk about the advertised rate of 88 cents. We have heard the people who are here speak to us. So now it is open for the board to give their comments. Anyone? Shall I call on? Do I need to call your volunteer? Anyone? No? Got anything to say? Anybody?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting dynamic, and I appreciate Mr. Nichols and staff's efforts for trying to put together a budget. And this being my first budget cycle, I'm working through it. The information was clear. The decisions, in my opinion, were I don't want to say obvious, but they were laid out in such a way that you could try to reach a decision. In the budgeting process and working with other supervisors, I expected it to be maybe a more robust process, if you would. Greater difference of opinion, and maybe it speaks to the fact that there's a recognition that our budget has been so tight and difficult in many respects that there isn't a lot of commentary on how we could go about trimming the fat, if you would. There wasn't an awful lot of fat to trim. In fact, when we were looking at the school budget, the initial recommendation from the county supervisor was around $1 million. The school was requesting $1.7 million almost, and that was a pretty substantial differential there when we actually looked at the breakdown and what we would accomplish with that $1 million versus 1.7 or even 1.3 or 1.4 or 1.5. The reality was we were, as Mr. Earl pointed out, just restoring back to 2008 non-inflation adjusted basis. So the county isn't necessarily making some huge jump forward in terms of its tax rate. It's reconciling what it hadn't done in the past and decisions that, for whatever reason, weren't made. I think it is easy to say we can find something to cut, but when you break down and actually look at what you would cut and what the impact would be, it wasn't so easy in this budget cycle. There weren't a lot of recommendations in terms of not only how could we go below the 85 cents that Mr. Nichols originally presented, but the conversation quickly started with the other things that we need to do in the county. And even in looking at how we could defray that 85 cents, they weren't defrayals that were long term. They were simply just postponing the inevitable. The 85 cents, large portion of that, and the increase necessary was primarily for PRS and for some equalization in terms of salary increases, just to bring the county to a competitive level. So, could we have saved a few cents this year? Possibly, but they would come back next year. I think the county has an opportunity. Somebody criticized me for using the word reset because they still said it's a tax increase. But the county has an opportunity to basically allow itself the room to make better decisions and to restore some faith in terms of our commitment to our schools, our commitment to our core services, our commitment to bringing infrastructure and investment into the county. So I recognize this is in the budget that's easy for many of us. I recognize that there's still a division in terms of where we'd like to see it be exactly, but we're in essence quibbling about sense in the sense that we know that ultimately we still need to head in that direction. I don't think that we're arguing about the direction, just about how we get there. So I look forward to taking this year and next year we can minimize the impact on the budget in terms of a tax increase.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Anyone else?
I'd just like to thank y'all for guiding and working with me. So I just wanted to publicly thank the three statesmen.
Right. You know, I think the first year that Mr. Nichols was our county administrator, we saw our budget in a much different way, and we were elated about how well it was put together and presented. And I think this year he has gone beyond that. He has found other ways to present the budget to us and to put things in where not only we can understand, but the community as well because of our website. I know everyone doesn't have a computer, but I think a great number of people do have a computer. And there are many things that's on that computer that they can go and look at. Plus, people can call and sit down with staff and get their answers to whatever questions they have. The other thing that I like, with when we've gone through this budget process, that we've also kind of looked ahead and we've kind of said, well, maybe we can't. This is needed, but maybe we can't do it now. But let's keep it over here on the burner. Let's don't forget it so that maybe next year we can improve in this area, improve in that area. And that way we're constantly growing and moving forward. We have much to do, and we have to have many conversations. And I appreciate this board having good conversations. And we will be doing that in the future. And we want to see some results, and we want the community to see the results. And we don't want to take 30 years to do it, or 50 years to do it. So I'm very pleased with where we are at this very moment. Anyone else?
My concern certainly is the fact that we're going from 65 to 80. That's a 22% increase. Mm-hmm. And we talk about economic development. We're now, I guess, one of the highest counties in this area on tax rate. And I don't think that's good for economic development. And I think Ms. Keller has done an outstanding job over there. It's not an easy job that she's had. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the research that she has done and brought forward to us. But I certainly find 22% increase and a jump up to 88 cents is astounding to me. And it really concerns me about the future. It concerns me some years back about where we were heading. And I think we know where we ended up. And that's where I'm afraid we're going to end up again in the near future. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Weaver.
Okay. I just want to add to or refer to what you said. I find it much harder to find cuts in a budget than it is to raise the budget. I think it's much easier to add things, it seems, than it is to really get down to making really hard decisions of keeping the tax rate down. So in that response, you know, past boards, whether they were done correctly or not, and last year's budget was well thought out worked out about the same as what this came up as far as the school budget goes, as far as the request goes. And the year before probably wasn't as well thought out as needed, but the hard decisions, it's harder to make that decision than it is to not make it, to just add to the tax rate. And I'm not going to be, it isn't worth really going into it too much deeper than that. Time will tell what the effect this has, and I hope it's a good effect. I really do. I hope it turns out well. There's two sides to everything, and other counties are coming to where we were 2 years ago. All you have to do is open up a paper every day and see the extremity of the cuts that the surrounding counties, especially over the mountain, are starting to have to make a hard choice. I'm counting 2.6 million, 2.8 million. If you go to Stanton, Waynesboro, within Stanton, Greene County, are all making the hard decision on those moves now. And if you look carefully, those, especially if you look at Albemarle County right now, and the way the school board is working with the Board of Supervisors with that $2.8 million shortfall, and as opposed to just saying give it to me or asking for it in the budget, they're working out with them choices that had to be added. And granted, they have more choices, they have alternative revenue sources that we haven't looked at over the years, and that I know we're going to address in the next few months, to take some of this tax burden off the household, the 9,120 homes we have here, and start putting it across fairly with business and other development stuff that's going to be going on. For alternative sources. I think that's seriously important. One out of six households in this county are below the poverty level. So just look down your street and count six houses down, and your tax rate, sure, it does affect that six rate. And go six houses down. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. It's in clumps and it's in districts that it affects 90% of the homes in the area. And the people that stand up and say, raise my taxes, don't even drive to those sections of our county. So teachers are very aware of the socioeconomic state of this county right now. If anyone is, teachers in the classroom are. The American
American Legion. A great example, we had a ball player that wanted to play but couldn't afford a baseball ball. Just an example. And I may sometimes look like a bad guy, but at the same time, I'm talking to pharmacists at the drugstore, talking to people in the neighborhoods. And I do get out to every part of this county. And that's where I spend my day, and talk to people. So I'm, believe it or not, I'm worried about the elderly and those 1 out of 6 people that can't afford that $175 a year or that $200, because quite frankly, they're short thousands of dollars a year now on fixed incomes or low-paying jobs. And that's just a fact. You can't argue that. So to say that, you know, it's time to add this and add that, if you go back from the year 2000 to the year 2009, and I believe that's where, if you look back in the history, things really started to upend in lack of forethought in Fulton County. And if you look at the teacher's pay, for example, and I think no one's paid enough. I think certain people are paid way too much, but I think the average person isn't making enough money these days. But if you look at 2000 to 2009, that was a 37.5% pay increase for teachers over that 9 years. So the average person from 2000 to 2009, that wasn't reflected, and I can say that because I actually worked between those times. So, you know, you have to take it as a whole. We're dealing now with lack of preparedness of the past. And Mrs. Bukovic is kicking the can down the road, and that was kicked down the road for years. And I just guess we're at that point now
where
can't stop. And I also want to say I want to thank Mrs. Booker and in public in what you're doing, in how you're handling the chair position. Whether I agree with you all the time or disagree, I'm finding I agree with you more than I ever knew I did. And we've spent more time talking in the last 3 months than we talked in 2 years. It's almost on a daily basis. And that's good. And like you were saying, that there's camaraderie, I think is the word, amongst the five of us, even though we probably all come from different places.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
we're ending up in the same spot.
Well, I was laughing. You talking about conversations, and I drove to Florida with the baseball team 13 hours. Last 2.5 hours, he called me up, and I was sitting off the phone. I said, "The kids are asleep. You got to talk to me." Yeah, I said, "Just give me away." But I would like to add.
I was afraid I was going to put him to sleep.
I just said.
I did point out that everyone else was working while he was on a 10-day spring break.
Well, I was driving 4 baseball players to Florida. I will say, I'd like to add one thing. The most telling thing I saw this entire time, and we can talk about cuts, was the chart that Mr. Nichols made for us last week that we looked at. It saw where all the cuts came from one side. And that, was to me, was the most telling chart that we saw the entire time. When we saw the lines, and the lines did not lie. They just told. We talk about cuts, but that one chart.
And that chart does say a lot in itself. And keep in mind,
tell the public what the chart was about, so that they will.
It's on the screen, ma'am.
He's fine, so we can.
The chart is just measuring out the increases in the amount of per basis, of the expenditures divided by school debt obligation and the general fund expenses. From that standpoint, the green line is the general fund. The red line is the schools. So in 2012, you see see the significant dip. You see the general, you see the debt obligation, the blue line. You see the dip in 2014 due to the refinancing of the debt. That's a minor blip, but you can see that the expenses were already in place from 2009
right.
on forward. And then you see general operations consuming more of an increase from that standpoint. Should be noted that even in general operations, interestingly, the county's staff shrank during the period of time. So
right.
We're asking more out of our county staff than before. I didn't actually break down those numbers, but if you were to adjust that graph for inflation purposes, it would flatten out even further. Take the government CIP index and plug that into that, and you would end up with a much flatter chart. If we are not paying any more than we were paying on a per student basis than we were in 2007-2008. Rule of 72 says that take that number and divide it by itself, and that'll tell you how quickly the money doubles. So if you take 8 times 9, then that means that 8 years at 9%, the money doubled. Well, you can do the same thing at 3%. So a 37% increase over a course of 10 years isn't necessarily a big increase from that standpoint. We don't like to think of the fact,
yeah.
We don't like to,
right.
You know, I'm sure that Mr. Weaver could tell me about when you could buy a soda for, you know,
I
remember buying a comic book for 15 cents. I can't buy it for $1.50 now. Okay, so I mean, things do increase, and we have to understand that even in this budget cycle, teachers haven't gotten a raise for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask from someone.
And no
our salaries are not competitive on a county level basis, so that we lose staff, we train them, so that we go to other counties. When we lose staff, we lose their expertise, their knowledge of the county, their resources. Those are all things that ultimately cost us money. And you know, for us to take the approach and say, hey, what can we do to save a penny today that might cost us $5 tomorrow? I mean, $5 tomorrow doesn't make a lot of sense. Mr. Albrook tried to present some options so that we could save some money right now, but it wasn't explained to us that it would cost us more money to actually defer increasing the VRS and split it out over the course of a number of years. Might have saved a little bit of pain today, but it didn't save
created a lot of pain for the
created
future.
More trouble. So, you know, I encourage if we think that there are some great ways to save some additional monies here, we can still look at it, but I don't think that anybody has spoken out loudly saying, here's an absolute way that we can do that. I don't think that the discussion when we were talking about going from 1 million to 1.5 was a discussion that most people felt like that was an egregious assault on the taxpayer.
Right.
I appreciate that we want to take care of those who have the least, but we should not also just work our way to providing services to the rest of the county simply on the basis that there are people who can't afford 30 cents a day. Okay? When I went to school, I went to school that was broke, and it couldn't afford to provide the education that would better serve those individuals to get ahead, right? Those individuals to be able to thrive. That's not serving the community when you undereducate and allow people to underperform just because you're trying to save a dollar. And I think the budget isn't just about schools. I want to make sure that this budget wasn't just about schools. It was also about CIP investments that had been neglected. It was also about increasing the sheriff's resources and personnel. It was also about some safety increases. There were some other things. And lastly, we don't have revenue sources. Of all the counties in the area, we have the least amount of revenue sources from which we can tap. That puts us at a strategic disadvantage when we come to the budget cycle process. Right? And you've been talking about it. Let's not hide the fact that when we say alternative revenue sources, we're just saying other forms of taxation or better performance from that standpoint. But ultimately, those levers aren't available to us. Lack of economic investment is a lever that without the economic investment, we don't have that lever. You know, there are steps and progresses that can be made, but we have to make those investments.
To give you an example, if we had a meeting hall when the school was built, mm-hmm. that would have brought in six figures in if we had a full meeting hall. To the town, when the bridge was built right outside our office here, would have brought in high five figures. And I can go on and on with major construction that's gone on in this county for the last 6 years. That would have brought in probably closer to $600,000-$700,000. And that's it's sort of been ignored. I've been talking about it for 2 years. And I think Mr. Chesser discussed some of these numbers back about a year and a half ago. And that's money that doesn't come from the 9,100 homes, all homeowners. And that's been left on the table as far as increases. And when you think back to 2011, the outcry for school funding was predominantly business owners came up when we were at the auditorium and stood up. I don't remember how many people spoke, but there were a large number. You were even in your baseball uniform.
But I didn't speak till the end.
Yes. And so they're more than willing to join in on sharing the contribution. We enacted the voluntary contribution program, which gave people the ability to throw in a few extra bucks, and a realty company is matching this year, which will probably close to double what we got the first 6 months. But, I mean, a couple grand is a couple grand. And that's a start, and people can laugh at that if they want to. But, it seems that a lot of times, if everyone else isn't paying, someone else isn't going to fork over $20, $30. And that just sort of, it's mind-boggling. That if we gave too much money, that there'd be an excuse not to raise taxes or something like that. And that wasn't the idea behind it. It was just the opportunity behind it. Heck, in Massachusetts, I just got a bill for a beautification project. That wasn't a choice. It was $48 that I had, but at least they told me what it was for.
Okay.
So.
I don't want to. Go ahead, finish.
No, you're good at interrupting me when I say too much.
I know. He's sitting too far away from me. I can't kick him like I used to.
I would say she's almost now my buffer. Before I say anything, now I call Moselle and I say, this is what I want to say, and she says, shut up.
Well, that's Bob, I agree with you. Let's work towards finding alternative resources. Let's continue to work towards bringing economic development to the area so that we can reduce the burden on the homeowner.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any of us is particularly excited about an increase of this size. Yeah. But by the same token, I don't think that there was a lot of discussion about how we could ultimately avoid doing the right thing from the standpoint. So while we could have defrayed expenses for this year, they would come back next year.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it is a challenge. Yeah. And had we equalized to 63 cents, as we pointed out earlier by Joe there, we would have been exactly where we are right now. Yeah. We didn't do that then. The county's spoken about it. We're doing it now. It's easy to say, hey, it's because it's somebody else's budget, or it's easy to say, there's just this great desire by people to fund the schools or take care of their own personal interests from that standpoint. But that's not the reality. That's not what happened in these budget sessions. And I think that at the end of the day that we all recognize that there was inherently some difficult choices that we had to make. Did we come to a consensus to say exactly we're all going to stand behind this and agree to it? No. But I would challenge and say, well, what was that other number? What would it be next year?
Well, I think next year is a real teller. You've got reassessment, which is going to be very lopsided. It's not going to be anything near what the last reassessment was. And the reason being, if you take 45% of this county inside the gates, home values have increased at a slower tick than outside the gates. And that slower tick is nearly double. So what's going to happen is, and these are facts from the car, what's going to happen is with reassessment, it's going to average out. And whether it's 6 cents or 5 cents, 5% or 6% or 4%, the heavy burden on that reassessment is going to be those homes that really kicked up in value and over the last 2 years. And there has been a nice kick this year of about 8% outside the gates in most sections of the county. Unfortunately, inside that stayed around 4%. So,
the
bottom line is that's going to be. I just want to finish with what I was saying. That's going to hurt a segment of the county, and just off the bat on the reassessment. Next, you've got perhaps I'm looking at a 6%. A 6 cent increase. Not even talking about reassessment. You're talking, if we're consistent and we're going 1.6, 1.3, whatever million a year to the schools, well, that's 3 cents right there. Right? 3 cents would change. If you increase the budget next year or the school budget by $1.3 million or $1 million, you know, I'm just generalizing here, 3 cents there. And debt service, we've increased debt service.
We've gone for next year.
We've increased, because it's, you have to.
We're looking ahead.
You said to me just the other day, looking to the future.
Yeah.
And you've got an 11% increase in our debt service just in this year's budget. Adding up. So there's another 2 cents next year.
But it's 2 cents.
We've got to start to economic bottom line. First, we've got to start
paying to a building that's getting ready to fall.
We've got to start paying. I'm not saying the negatives are the positives. I'm just looking at next year. You're already 5 cents. Go kicking up to 6 cents. Add it to the 8.5 cents this year. And that's at some point there's a breaking point. And I think you see it.
We don't figure that.
Well, the public will figure that out, and I think you see it by the crowd here tonight. There's a segment of the folks that are sitting at home saying, there's nothing more I can scream about, there's nothing more I can plead about, there's, you know, there's, I'm talking to a majority that's not going to hear me.
I think that is, and respectfully, I disagree. I think that the idea that there's some large, silent majority out there is hogwash. If they were there, then they should be here today. Quite frankly, it's unacceptable for them to say, you know, we're the silent majority and we're not here today. A couple of years ago, they were here and they spoke. And you know what? I had more people reach out to me saying, do the right thing, raise it, than I had people saying, do it the other way. You can write letters. There have been 2 letters in the Flu Banner Review with respect to this. Okay? Perhaps it isn't that the silent majority is sitting there saying, hey, you guys, you know, clearly we've given up. We don't have the mandate, and so therefore we expect taxes to go up. Well, maybe there's a silent majority out there that says, maybe the county's doing the right thing. Maybe the county is finally making the investments it needs to make. I don't think this is a political vote. Mm-hmm. Why? It upsets me a little bit. When in the budgetary process, there weren't robust discussions about how we could have cut. It's easy to sit here and posture about how there's a group of people out there that are upset about this. But quite honestly, there weren't these philosophical or deep discussions happening during the work session. In fact, we canceled the work session. Right?
Yeah.
You know, you as their representative turn that building up. I'd like to think that you didn't give up. I'd like to think that you guys are actually doing what you think is in the best interest of this county. And let me just finish this thought. Because, for example, and I commend you for reaching out and trying to say, how could we reduce the burden this year? But you just pointed out that burden would come back next year. Okay? Nobody, and I don't think there's a consensus among the board right now to say, gee, schools are going to get another $1.5 million for raises or anything along those lines. That discussion hasn't even come up. If the school board has come back, they better be talking about STEM, they better be talking about additional programs, they better be talking about how they're better serving our students versus that they want another raise. That's what they should be talking to us about from that perspective. I think this board demands accountability out of the people that we provide the money to. But when individuals came up and the nonprofit said, you know, we'd like to see this and here's what we benefit our community, nobody said, well, that's really not a great idea, let's take that out. Because there's a recognition that when you give to John or when you give to Java, that you're getting more value out of that organization than you're actually giving them. They're doing more for our community than we're giving them. 20-1 ratio, I think we saw.
It is 20-1.
And I'm just saying,
we're not talking.
No, I'm just saying there were not these huge discussions about, hey, let's stop this and figure out how we can get this tax rate not just to 85 cents, but below 85 cents. We didn't even start the conversation there, right?
And there's a time for it, and there is, and to, you know, and I think Don would agree with me. I mean, there comes to a point where, there's nothing to do about.
So what do you mean? What is there nothing they can do about? Where was the discussion to say, let's cut the schools by, let's not give them any increase because we can't afford the tax increase? There wasn't that discussion. Okay, where was the discussion saying, we sure,
where was the discussion?
Yeah, but where was it?
That's the point of the matter. And at the same time, when I do have something to say, it's rhetoric. And the last time I checked, you know, I can have my own feelings. But that's kickback. It's at the point where, you know, if I send you an email with some ideas, well, you're bouncing that back and saying, well, those were dumb ideas.
Oh, I never said that.
In a roundabout way, that's what you're saying.
So
you know what the answer to that is cut that out and don't send an email anymore. Don't. You know, because where is it going to go? Where is that?
Are we getting off topic a little bit here? I think we need to come back a little bit more here because we can sit here and kind of go through this for a long time.
The topics on email, regardless, those are conversations and we have those conversations. But as a group, when we sit down and we have a work session, those are places that we can work out those differences. And it is the responsibility of a board member to lobby for their position. I respect that.
I do that every day.
And you do that every day, and that's okay. I respect that. I think that's part of the process. I think this is the nature of the process. And what I guess I'm saying is part of my surprise is that iterative process did happen this time. Okay? That iterative process really wasn't there. I'm okay with that because I'd like to think that the reason that didn't happen was because we thought we were doing the right thing. That's what I think. Okay, I think that it's a mistake to say, let's figure out how we can save 4 cents today so that next year we come back and take your 6 cent example and increase it by 10 cents. I would hope that next year we come back and we figured out how to maybe keep it down to 2 cents or maybe 3 cents if possible.
Or no cents.
I would hope that we're seeing the payoff of something.
Government doesn't need to be growing.
I don't disagree with that.
I do think that, this conversation is good. I think that we do need to look at the process that we have gone through. And if you have any suggestions on the way it could be done differently or could we do it better, then we need to let Mr. Nichols know that so that we can, next year, we will do things a little bit different.
I will say this, this is the second budget in a row that's been the starting point has been very good. And if you go back to three budgets ago, that was of no fault to anyone. We were in a flux, and it sort of was at the wrong time, unfortunately, because we were starting from scratch with absolutely zero, and not even knowing for sure what the numbers really were. So take that back to that time, and the participation in 2011, even in your end of it, was you were pretty much just like most people were sitting at home and really not involved and not engaged, whether it be with the school board meetings or whether it be this. So as ugly as that was, it engaged thousands of people. And that's a good thing. And out of those thousands of people, there's still hundreds of people engaged in the process. Whether it be checking, even the FluVanna Review and local media is more engaged in the process.
Okay.
And
that's fine.
Does that be quiet?
Well, I think, if you finish your thought, I mean, I don't want to stop you from your thought. Did you finish?
I must have, I forgot.
Okay. I think that we've had, we've all had a good conversation here. Are we ready?
Just have one comment. I appreciate your comments before about staff, but let me just point out a couple things from all of you. It's been a particularly good budget season because you've been engaged, you've come in and talked, and you've met, and you've talked back and forth to each other. I understand the difficult decisions, but your larger accounts before really need to be directed towards some key stuff. Lots of folks participate in the budget process, but our fantastic website was designed by Jonathan McMahon. Mm-hmm. Mary Weaver maintains it every single day with all the updates that go on there and the timely information. Mm-hmm. Barbara Horlock and Eric Dahl are the budget architects, mm-hmm. and the pay plan is designed and developed by Gail Parrish every year. Mm-hmm. Lots of other folks participate in that, but I really appreciate on their behalf the comments. We try to make it as clear and understandable as possible. You don't get to sit and do this all day long like we do at our desks, and so we wanted to get it to you and to the citizens, right. so it's clear, but I appreciate the comments on behalf of staff.
Yes, well, we want to thank the staff, all of you. And are we ready for a motion?
No motion.
Oh, that's right. No motion.
Just follow the agenda.
Huh?
Just follow the agenda.
Okay.
Did you formally close the public hearing earlier?
Yes, yeah, I think I did.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we just move on then.
Okay. So we don't have anything for action, presentation, consent, unfinished business? New business? We will have our second public comments. It's now open for you to come to the mic. Give us your name, address, and you have 5 minutes to speak to the board. Do we have anyone? If not, I will close the second public comment. And now, Mr. Weaver, we have a closed meeting.
Madam Chairman, I move that the FluVanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711(a)(1) and Section 2.2-3711(a)(6) of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel and investment of funds.
Right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. It has been moved by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. Allenbrook. And we go into a closed meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Aye. Mr. Chairman, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the FluVanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Motions, and it says, be it resolved to the best of my knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2
2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and the only such public business matters as were identified in a motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting, and there will be a vote from each person.
All right. All right. Mike? Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. Oliver?
Aye.
Mr. Barnes?
Aye.
Chair, aye. So now...
That's it.
Now we have to do these May birthdays. So don't forget to sign these. And do we have someone who we need to adjourn?
I'd like to make a motion.
Second. It has been moved by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Sheridan, that this meeting of April the 9th, 2014, is in favor.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Mr. Oliver, did you vote aye?
I'll go with you this time.
All right. 5-0. Thank you.